and now evangelist David Shannon.
If you will, open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. It causes divorces. It builds up stress perhaps faster than almost anything else. It does build up barriers quicker than almost anything else. It destroys what was once good partnerships on basis of almost hatred. What is something that is so powerful as that was just described? Financial problems. Financial disagreements. It is amazing what money will do to people. When those that feel like they have been cheated or robbed, it is amazing how the temperament changes. This morning, with those things in mind, I carefully share with you from the Word of God about what God says about our finances. Let us this morning look at our giving to God. It is a part of the worship service, and that is why we will look upon it. I will inform you that this is not a message to increase the contribution for budget's sake. You see that the Lord has blessed the congregation tremendously this year. It's not a message that the elders have asked to be preached. It's simply a message from the Word of God. One that is a part of the worship service and one that we should understand and obey completely. So this morning, I urge you, look at what God's Word says. And if there's disagreements, you pray about it. And you look at God's Word. And you decide what is right in your life. Because I assure you, with such a delicate matter as your money, I'm not giving you advice. This is from the Word of God. The questions oftentimes arise about the contribution. And the question that very often is asked is who should give. Let us read verse 6 and 7. There are many, many passages in the Word of God, and it was hard to narrow it down to one text, and we will stay primarily in 2 Corinthians 9 in verses 6 and 7 this morning. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he is purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Who should give? Every man, is what verse 7 says. Why should every man be a giver back to God of his finances? When we look over at 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and verse 20, it says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Brethren, every one of us have been bought with a price. Therefore, every one of us should glorify God in our body, meaning our physical attributes and characteristics and blessings, and also in our spiritual life. This morning, every one that has been blessed by God should be a giver. Another reason why everyone should be a giver is the story that we read in Matthew, the 25th chapter, one that we will refer to for time's sake, but most of you know the story quite well. You remember that there was the master, and he took a 5-talent man, and he took a 3-talent man, and he took a 1-talent man, and he blessed those men with those talents. And remember, in biblical times, a talent was money. Now today, we oftentimes use the word talent, meaning ability. In New Testament times, the word talent did not mean ability. In New Testament times, the word talent meant monetary value. So here's a man who is given 10 denominations of money, 5 denominations of money, 1 denominations of money, and then the master returns. The one with 5 makes 10, the one with 3 makes more, and the one with 1. He has only 1. He blesses and commends the first 2. The latter man with the one talent. He looks upon him and he says, "Thou slothful and wicked servant." Brethren, why should everyone be a giver? Because I believe that everyone here this morning wants to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter in." I don't think there's anyone here this morning that wants to hear the words on judgment day, "You wicked and slothful servant." Why? Because you wasted what you had? No. Because you were not wise with what you had. Another question that very oftentimes arises as the contribution is mentioned and giving is the subject. The question is asked, how much should be given? That's probably the question that is asked more often than any other question. Many times men will strive to answer this question with opinions and what they believe. This morning, let's look and see exactly what does the New Testament say on how much should be given. From the text that we just read in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter and verse 6, quite frankly, answering from the text, how much should be given? How much do you want to receive in the future? You see, the Bible teaches that if you want very little in the future, give very little today. And if you want to be blessed much in the future, give bountifully today and you will be blessed bountifully. That's the Bible. That is the truth. And brethren, even though that is a New Testament teaching, that also is the teaching that has been true ever since the beginning of mankind. That is an Old Testament and a New Testament principle. As a matter of fact, when we turn back, we could look at many, many occasions of this. But as we turn back to the Old Testament in the book of Haggai, we see that they had a problem there. They forgot to give to God. And as the story goes, now just in your mind's sake, this is several years, probably about 70 years before Nehemiah went back to build the wall after the destruction of Jerusalem. Well, there were another group of Jews that went back to build the temple of God. And they built the huge foundation for the temple of God, and then they forgot God. They went out, and the Bible tells us that they had rich homes of their own, but they forgot to build the Lord's house. And as we read in the first chapter, we read also that not only did their houses become waste, but we read also that their crops had become of waste, meaning they did not produce. And the prophet here instructs them that once they remember the Lord's house and once they remember to give back to God the things that they should be giving to God, then God will remember and bless them in their fields and in their homes. Very similar to last week's sermon. But yet this is on the other end of the spectrum of the children of Israel. Also, we see a very similar story as we come over just a couple of books to Malachi, the 3rd chapter. In Malachi, the 3rd chapter, they too forgot God. And here is what Malachi said to them in Malachi, the 3rd chapter, in verse 8. Speaking for God, he asked, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee, in tithes and offerings? Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open thou the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." The next verse talks about the blessing that they'll receive out in the fields. The next verse, verse 12, talks about the blessing that they will receive from other nations in calling them a blessed nation. Brethren, the challenge there that is stated in the Old Testament is a New Testament principle that we will look at in just a moment. And that is, test God. Prove to God and see if as we bountifully give to Him, if He does not lift open the windows of heaven. Now think about this. I admit to you many times when I'm giving my contribution, I think about this verse. And I wonder to myself, what window in heaven will the Lord offer? What window will He open because of what I gave today? You see, for each one of us this morning that gave bountifully, rest assured, a window will open in the future. a blessing will pour forth upon us. And if we gave bountifully, it will be a bountiful blessing. If we gave very sparingly, it will in return be a sparing blessing. The New Testament principle in which we must look at this morning to answer this question. In 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter. In 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, in verse 1 and 2. And then we'll go back to our original text of 2 Corinthians. But when the question is asked, how much? We must always read 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. So Paul writing to many, many of the New Testament churches, all of those in Galatia, now all of those of Corinth, and he says, here is how the offering is to be collected. When, Paul? Another question that's often asked, when? Upon the first day of the week. Let every one of you lay by him in store. How much? As God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So Paul writing in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, says, how much should it be? How much do you want in the future? Paul writing to the brethren in 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, how much should it be? He says, how much have you been given last week? Now notice, Paul's not asking how much have you been given for several weeks, because he says this offering should be given once a week, upon the first day of the week. So how I've been blessed 3 weeks or 4 weeks ago should have no effect on how much I give this morning. What I gave this morning should be in direct contrast to how much the Lord has prospered me these past 7 days. Brethren, with that in mind, that does away with what we might call habitual giving. Giving where it's the same amount every Sunday. Unless, of course, you make the same amount every week without any exceptions. You see, giving as we have been prospered means exactly what it says. As you increase, increase your giving. As that amount decreases, decrease your giving. But brethren, there is no way that God can bless us abundantly with overtime, bonuses, great investments, and then us in return turn around and give Him a minimum amount every week and say, I'm giving as I've been prospered. Giving as we have been prospered is looking at how much we have made and in return, giving as we have been prospered. Another question that many times arises is, doesn't the Lord understand? If I run to the end of the week and I don't have any money left, doesn't the Lord understand? Can't I just reach in on Sunday and see how much is left in my wallet and doesn't the Lord understand if that is all that is left? Again, going back to our text in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Verse 7 says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Brethren, giving is a planning. Now, we've already seen that it's based upon how much we've been prospered. And now, as we look in 2 Corinthians 9, 7, he says it is planned. God has not intended for us to be spontaneous givers week after week. God intends for us to give based upon what we have planned to give based upon how we have prospered. Can I challenge your thinking for a moment? Shouldn't our contribution be our greatest financial concern? Shouldn't it? Doesn't Colossians say, set your affections on things above? The story we've already referred to in Matthew, the 25th chapter, isn't the Lord going to judge us partially upon how we used our finances? Isn't giving a part of the contribution? Isn't that a direct command? Therefore, giving should be our top financial responsibility. Therefore, if contribution is our top responsibility, why would it ever come down to the last of the week and none have already been put aside? You see, when I receive and when I prosper from the week, I should take that out first. And when it comes down to the end of the week, as it does oftentimes, to say one of these two bills can't be paid, it won't be the contribution, because that was my first priority. Another challenging thought is there anything of importance in your financial world that is accepted to just pull out some money and that be okay? For example, in the financial world, does the banker understand? If you walk in at the end of the week and you say, listen, I just remembered I owe you a payment, and I was walking by the bank and well, look, I have $45 left. Let me let that be my house payment this month. It doesn't work, does it? How foolish it is to think that God would be pleased with the same behavior if even man himself would not be pleased with it. Brethren, probably the one question that grieves me the most is the question, doesn't God understand? It's hard to answer that question without greatly offending individuals. But a sincere answer from the Word of God is no. If we have put God off to the last, if we've made Him our last responsibility, our last priority, no, God doesn't understand. And as a matter of fact, we rob God, and in the future we rob ourselves. Because when we refuse to sow bountifully down the road, we think it's hard today. Down the road, it's going to get even more sparse. This morning, how we need to think about these questions. And our goal in giving should always be a bountiful giving. And the last point this morning, it should be a giving of great joy. Notice the latter part of that verse again. The latter part says, so let him give, of 2 Corinthians 9:7. Not grudgingly, not of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Don't complain. Brethren, this morning you and I should rejoice that we have the opportunity to come and to give back just a portion of what God has given us. We shouldn't feel like it's a necessity. Someone is making me give. It should be that we're pleased we can give back. It should be something that we're cheerful. I encourage you to think and to plan your giving based upon how you've been prospered. I encourage you, if you give as a husband and wife, to talk about what you give. Don't be ignorant to what the spouse gives. Brethren, this is something that God blesses all of us, and all of us should be concerned about how much is given. And it's something that should be decided. And it's something that should be decided week after week after week. Why? Because God blesses us week after week after week. This evening, we'll spend a short time looking at the motive of giving. The greatest motive of giving is love. And in an effort so many can go on over and hear the young men speak, it'll be somewhat shorter, but I encourage you, come back tonight and let's study a little further into the motive of giving. But this morning, plan this week to give as you've been prospered, realizing that the future blessings will be based upon what you gave. And also, as we close this morning, we want to extend an invitation. All of our life should be based upon what God says. Not just the areas that we think are most important, but all areas of life should be in obedience to God. This morning, is your life in harmony with God? If it's not, isn't it time it was? For you see, the only way we can receive the spiritual blessings is to be a spiritual person that God wants us to be. To be Christ-like, a Christian. If you've never become a Christian, you've heard the gospel, if you believe it, you're willing to turn away from your sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of sins, we want to help you this morning. If you've done that, but yet you've fallen away. Somewhere along the way, Satan has deceived you in believing that there's a better way. There's not a better way. This morning, I want you to live as God wants you to. If we can help you do that, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?